I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up, we'll have Troy Brown join us. Won a number of Super Bowls with the Patriots in the first half of this dynasty run. Former wide receiver and kind of do-everything gadget man for the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Troy will join us coming up to talk about the Pats win in about 17 minutes from now. By the way, we have a big couple of weeks coming up here on the DA show. Thursday is Hugh Freeze's retirement ceremony. We will raise his 4XL Vikings jersey to the rafters. We have never done this before. Nobody's ever been retired. We have had guys banned. We have had people banned from the show, and he'll kind of be, well, yes, he's banned as well. But nobody's ever been honored in banishment. So he'll be the first. We'll do that. We'll have some celebrities drop by to wish him well, to look back on the legacy of Hugh Freeze's career. A long, storied history here on the DA show, dating all the way back to, like, August. That is coming up Thursday on the show. And then next week, all of next week, Mraz and I are in Atlanta for Super Bowl week, all on Radio Row. So we'll have hopefully some amazing shows, some amazing guests lined up for all of next week. And then the week following Super Bowl is Alliance Signing Day, where myself, Mraz, Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, we will all have our National Signing Day moment where we will pick the cap of the Alliance football team that we are rooting for. Hardcore, obviously, because we're all in on the Alliance, the brand new spring football league, which will begin the weekend after the Super Bowl, and you'll be able to watch them on CBS Sports Network, those games. So that's all coming up. Big, big couple of weeks here on the show. Big. I mean, somehow we got to sandwich in, shoehorn in Super Bowl week in between the huge monster events of Hugh Freeze's retirement and Alliance Signing Day. Drew Brees might never get that chance ever again. He might never, ever, ever have an NFC Championship game at home. And I can't imagine Drew Brees will ever have a chance as golden as red zone, less than 2 minutes to play, kick a field goal to go up in the waning minutes of said championship game. That's as good as an opportunity gets. And I am very critical of Sean Payton's decision there to not run the football, to throw it on first down, causing an incompletion, stopping the clock. Ultimately, they had to throw again on third down. That's where Roby Coleman's would have been, should have been, pass interference should have been called to extend the drive to where then the Saints would essentially have won the game, iced it, by taking a knee three times and kicking the field goal with no time left on the clock and winning. However, Sean Payton did not decide to do that at first and put himself in a precarious position by stopping the clock and allowing the Rams to have timeouts left, ways to stop it, coming down the field to tie up the ball game. But that missed pass interference, the missed helmet-to-helmet on Roby Coleman, is the single worst no-call missed call in NFL history. And I'm not a prisoner of the moment. This is not hyperbole. That no-call decides a spot in a Super Bowl. But the other dirty little secret, unfortunately, yesterday was Drew Brees did not play great. Brees, in the red zone, had to settle three separate times for field goals. Drew Brees, hit by Dante Fowler in overtime, floated the duck that ended up getting intercepted. Drew Brees did not look yesterday like Tom Brady did. Now, Brady wasn't perfect. Brady throws the end zone interception. Brady nearly threw another interception, obviously, in overtime. Did throw another INT, although it was off the fingertips of Julian Edelman. And then off the fingertips of Gronk, should have been INT, late in the fourth quarter, rather, when the Chiefs were leading, 28-24, right? I think that was the score. But either way, that was a moment where Drew Brees looked his age. Now, I don't know how Brady's not looking his age. I mean, sometimes he does, most of the time he doesn't. But avocado ice cream is doing wonders. And maybe other stuff, but who knows? Drew Brees, though, is looking like his age. Yesterday, he looked like he was 40 years old. And Brees also will have a monster cap hit next year. So that the Saints drafting has been much better recently, obviously. And the Saints have one of the better teams surrounding Drew Brees. Maybe their best surrounding cast since Brees won the Super Bowl a decade ago. But I got to tell you, I don't know how much longer Brees' window is open here. I know after the game, he said, I plan to be back. The Saints want to take it and say, we're moving forward and we've got a bright future and we'll take this, we'll use it next year. But as much as the rest of the roster might be back and solid next year, I don't know if you can say the same thing about Drew Brees. I mean, Mraz, it's not Joe Montana last year on the Chiefs. It's not the waning days of Joe Namath on the Rams. But does Drew Brees look like a guy that a year from now is going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl?
Doesn't to me. I think this has been one of the most undertold stories. And granted, Teddy Bridgewater played in Week 17, but since Thanksgiving night, heading into yesterday's game, this included their first playoff game, the Saints had started to average 19.1 points per game between Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving, the NFC Championship game. That was a significant drop off from the 30 points plus they were putting up earlier in the year. And look, Brees throughout the year, you could see signs of it. And don't tell me Sean Payton doesn't see signs of it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have designed plays with Taysom Hill taking snaps. You don't see a Taysom Hill on the Patriots where Belichick is so unique or anything taking Brady off because Brady can still do it. That's all about trying to preserve Brees little by little and do plays that maybe he can't make happen anymore. And I just can't see in 12 months that Brees is going to get any better or even stay the same where he is. There is going to be more decline.
I love Drew Brees, and he's a total class act. He's been an amazing icon for that city. He's a Super Bowl champion. His place in lore is set. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest passers ever. He'll probably have all of the significant records when he retires. And yesterday, if you just look at the stat sheet, 249, two touchdowns, a pick, you would say, good game. But you watch that game, he missed some throws. Sailed some throws, hit the turf, and I said, boy, Brees is not playing a really crisp game here. Now, I credit the Rams defense for their role in that, but Drew Brees next year has a $33 million cap hit. $33 million coming to Drew Brees next year at 41 years old, or 40. It's a lot of money. Now, you're certainly not going to get rid of him. You're certainly going to let him play for as long as he wants to play because he's still very effective. But I'm just thinking, boy, you're on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. 12 months from now, a year from now, is Drew Brees going to be good enough? We're already seeing slippage. Is he going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl next year at this time? You know, Tom Brady's duration of his career, his longevity kind of bends our reality, making us think that all these guys can play into their 40s and play well. But I don't know. I don't think Drew Brees is ever going to have an opportunity that golden in front of him to win or at least get back to a Super Bowl. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Now, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Johnny's next up. He's in California, listening to 910 there. Good morning, John.
Good morning, DA. Can you beat me up to a non-fraudulent lead, please?
You got it. What is that beeping?
I'm sorry. I'm not wearing my seatbelt. I'm disobeying the law like the referees disobeyed the league.
Okay. All right. So what's your thoughts on yesterday's games?
We all think the same thing. So it wasn't a blown call. You spoke on it earlier about Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones. So maybe this was supposed to happen. Maybe that they were supposed to look the other way when this happened. So maybe we're just all being led and they're just slightly just messing up in the biggest opportunity on the biggest stage. And Drew Brees should have been going to his second Super Bowl in a row right now.
Look, if I wasn't a smarter, more sophisticated, more mature adult than I am, perhaps I would suggest that the NFL wanted to see LA in its Super Bowl. But, of course, I am mature and sophisticated, and I would never believe that the conspiracy theory would be so big, so large, so overwhelming that they would actually make sure their prestigious cities or players were in the big game. I mean, last year they somehow whistled a play dead in Foxborough that probably would have put the Jaguars in the Super Bowl, but I'm sure they wanted Blake Bortles and the city of Jacksonville just as much as they wanted Golden Boy Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in that Super Bowl, right? I'm sure that they wanted the New Orleans Saints, one of the smallest markets in the NFL, the same way they wanted glitzy Los Angeles in the Super Bowl, right? Look, I think there's plenty of reasons to believe that yesterday's officiating botches had nothing to do with any type of conspiracy theory or want or desire for one team over the other. Let's just call it what it is. It was broken officiating, terribly broken officiating in those moments. John is next up. He's in Arizona, listening at 94.3. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. Hey, can you beat me up? My first time calling.
Of course. Welcome aboard.
All right, thanks. So I'm a 28-year Dolphin fan, so of course I was born to hate the Patriots. But let's be real, I expected them to win yesterday. And, you know, the call, I think the worst call, I saw the call in the Rams game. I watched both games. It was a terrible no call. I was like, wow. But I was just like, I didn't want to see the Saints in it again. Just like I didn't want to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl again. But that
now you call, didn't want to see the Saints of the Super Bowl. They haven't been there in a decade. You're sick of the Saints after once 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, they've just always been good.
Okay,
they've always been in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So I like to see fresh teams, is what I'm saying. And I wanted a Rams Chiefs Super Bowl so bad, and it just that pass interference, that roughing the passer call on Brady was just ridiculous. I think that was the worst call of the weekend.
You know, you can make that argument. I still think it's the non-call on the pass interference of the New Orleans game. I still think that's the worst call, but you can make the argument that the rough in the passer, phantom rough in the passer on Tom Brady late in that game, fourth quarter, crucial drive, obviously, crucial moment of the game, is just as bad, if not worse, because it's a total phantom. Didn't happen, and they threw the flag anyway. What's worse? Throwing a flag when nothing happened or not throwing a flag when everything happened? Our friend Troy Brown, who has won multiple championships for the New England Patriots, is scheduled to join us this morning. He had to move his time back, so we'll have him later on in the hour now. But he has said that he's still good to go. He'll join us coming up here in about 25 minutes from now. So we'll continue taking your phone calls and discussing the carnage of yesterday. Also, I will dissect just how painful yet another Chiefs playoff loss is in the way that this happened with my man, longtime Chiefs fan, B-Dub, former member of the DA show, coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the DA. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
There's multiple ways you can listen to the show by using your phone. You can always listen to us across this great CBS Sports Radio network, then also on Sirius XM Channel 206, and on your phone using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, and Apple Music. If you were watching the simulcast at watchda.com during commercial break, Cap played for you one of my more infamous meltdowns last year, the 2017 season, when the Patriots got the bounce, the lucky bounce against the Steelers in Pittsburgh with the Jesse James touchdown, no touchdown overturn. And they end up winning that football game. And by virtue of that, getting the number one seed in the AFC. And by virtue of that, remember, getting the Titans coming into their house instead of the Jaguars, who went to Pittsburgh and beat the Jags, then got the Jags at home in the AFC title game. Had that call gone against the Patriots, they were the two seed. Heinz Field would have been the site of the AFC championship game. And who knows what ends up happening. So, yesterday, last night, was another real DA meltdown over the Patriots' fortune. Real good old school DA meltdown. Not only because I am sick and tired of the Patriots dynasty, of course, but I also feel a great bit of empathy for my friends in Kansas City. As you know, I spent nearly 5 years there hosting the DA show, first at night, then in the mornings. And I have such deep roots and fondness with so many people that I love in Kansas City, that to see them go 49 years without a Super Bowl appearance, and then to see the Patriots once again ride in on a magic carpet into the Super Bowl yet again, 9 times in 18 years, 11 times overall. I have friends in Kansas City that have never in their lives seen a Super Bowl, and yesterday, a Patriot 10-year-old fan has seen 8 Super Bowls. So sometimes I have to remind myself that bad sports things happen to good people. Unfortunately, it's just the way that it is. What fan base was more deserving of a trip to Atlanta? Obviously the Chiefs. Obviously. But sometimes bad sports things happen to good people. And that's just what happened yesterday. And Pete the Body Bilotti is one of the mainstays of the DA show. Before Pete the Body Bilotti was Kenny Brock. And before Kenny Brock in Kansas City was my friend Brian Williams, B-Dub, who joins us here on the show. And Dub is as hardcore a Chiefs fan as anybody I know. Dub, talk to me. How do you feel? How you doing?
I'm broken. I'm distraught. It's been a rough couple hours. Not a lot of sleep. Going back and dissecting it, you know, just with 54 seconds left, we were in the Super Bowl. 54 seconds. You know, first the phantom, you know, did he touch the ball? Did he not touch the ball? Okay. Then, you know, the catch, no catch. And then you have the phantom roughing the passer. Okay, we got through all that. And then D4 can't keep track of where the damn ball is. You line up in the neutral zone on a game-changing play that determines the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl for the first time in my lifetime. I'm 45 years old. I've never seen a damn Super Bowl with the Chiefs in it. But, you know, just to do that, and you knew as soon as they called the flag, you knew Brady was going to score. You knew he was going to. You knew he was going to go for the throat. It's kind of like dropping the people's elbow and the rock bottom on Ric Flair, but you forget to cover Ric Flair. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And you got to play every single play with intensity and just know what you're doing. And, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And unfortunately, in overtime, the kid didn't get a chance to show that he is the future of the NFL.
That must also have you just irate. It has me irate. It must have you irate that Patrick Mahomes never touches the football in OT.
Right. Just play the full 15 minutes. You know, you knew, as every educated NFL fan and not even, you know, just regular bystanders that are just tuning in, you know, because it's the AFC Championship game. You knew whoever won the coin toss was going to win the game. And especially if Brady gets the coin toss, he's done it, what, two times before in the postseason, where if he gets that coin toss, he's going right down the field. And we were here at the house, had a nice big gathering, calling out the plays that he was going to run, especially on third down. And it was just absolutely asinine, one, that Eric Berry was covering Gronkowski with no help. Number two, your linebackers could not stop. He couldn't get off the box. He couldn't get any pressure. And the Edelman passes on third and nine, third and ten, third and ten. You knew what was coming. But Bob Sutton's inefficiency that, you know, has been covered up by Mahomes all year is Andy's glaring weakness. That's his Achilles heel, his loyalty to Bob Sutton, you know, officially did him in on one of the biggest stages. You know, first time that the AFC Championship game is held in Arrowhead in Kansas City, you have a chance to give the Lamar Hunt Trophy to his son on, you know, your home field. You haven't been there since, what, broke down Montana in 93-94?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was rough.
Every part of this bothers me. Every part of this. This is my man, B-Dub, Brian Williams, who, for those that don't know, his daughter Savannah, is my goddaughter. Talk to me about Savannah. How is she doing? What was she like after the game yesterday?
After the game, she just came up to me and just started crying and said, we were going to the Super Bowl. We were going to the Super Bowl. And I just had, you know, flashbacks of, you know, the Lynn Elliott game, you know, the Peyton Manning game, the Joe Montana game, the Pittsburgh Steelers game where nobody scores a touchdown and you lose at home. You know, all those games, the way Chiefs fans, we have a special way of, the Chiefs have a special way of losing in big moments. And, you know, this will be, you know, what will this be remembered as, the Dee Ford game or the Patrick Mahomes didn't get to touch the ball in overtime game? And she just was pretty distraught because evidently there is a Patriots fan in her class that, you know, they were ready to talk trash to. And now she knows that going to class tomorrow is going to be rough. She's going to have to take a little trash talking. So she's been pretty upset all night last night and so far this morning. She, every time turn it on, you know, first things first with our buddy Nick Wright, and, you know, just, she's, I don't want to see any more about the Patriots. It should be us. And so,
and if it would have been a loss to a long-suffering fan base, like if the Browns knock you out or the Bengals knock you out or they're going to a Super Bowl, okay, fine. At least somebody else gets to celebrate. But the Patriots, New England, again,
Patriots.
I mean, it's just a couple months after the Red Sox won the World Series again. They're going back to the Super Bowl. How is any of this fair from the sports gods?
Right, and to hear all the trash that they, you know, they were underdogs and bet against us and all that crap that was just, you know, made you want to vomit left and right. You got some clown, you know, number 11 selling T-shirts on Twitter talking about bet against us.
It's all so awful.
The fan base and the organization and the team, the whole thing, I'm done. You know, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I don't know if I can even watch the Super Bowl. And if I root for the Rams? You know, we still got the Governor's Cup in our closet here at Arrowhead. You know, I don't want to root for them because, yeah, you know, what do I do? What do we do?
I don't know.
It's brutal, man. So it was a rough night for everybody here in Kansas City, you know, to have it. I mean, we jumped up. Everybody, we're going to the Super Bowl. You know? Explosion. It was an explosion in the house. And then my sister-in-law said, they call the flag. And I said, what in the tuck rule is happening now? And here we go. Lined up in the neutral zone.
Well, Dub, my heart goes out to you guys, everybody in Kansas City, you, Savannah, everybody. Big hug from us over here at the DA Show, man. Hopefully it'll be better, and hopefully the Rams will win, I guess.
Hey, you know, I think the future looks bright. The kid has got amazing talent, and he showed you that, you know, he put up 31 points in the second half against a Bill Belichick defense again.
Yep.
But he's not getting any help from his defense or his defensive coordinator. I think everybody can see what the future is. And, you know, Tom's not going to give that torch away. You got to take it from him. And like I said, you know, once you drop the people's elbow on the rock bottom, you got to cover the man. You know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. So hopefully next time we get that opportunity and hopefully we have a different defensive coordinator, some more athletic linebackers, and we figure out something with Eric Berry and the rest of the secondary, because that can't happen anymore.
All good points, all fair enough. Thanks, Dub. Appreciate you sharing some time with us today, my man.
Love you, bro. Congratulations again on the newly wedding, and love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
Right on. Love you, too. My man, B-Dub, who ran the Wheels of Steel when I was in Kansas City. He was the Pete the Body Bilotti before the Pete the Body Bilotti. I mean, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes bad sports things happen to good people. Mraz, how is this fair? How is any of this fair? How do the sports gods give us this? You just heard in B-Dub's voice, how can he and that fan base, that city, not be delivered a Super Bowl appearance and Boston gets another one?
This is the ultimate life isn't fair. It's just not fair.
It's just not.
The only thing you could say is they got maybe the next face of the NFL, so good times should be ahead for Kansas City. But you never know in this world.
Listen to how broken he was. That's an entire city. How is any of this fair? The Patriots are going back? 8 freaking Super Bowls? Now 9? 9 in 18 years every other year? This is 3 straight. It's fair? How is any of this fair, Mraz? Explain this to me.
The only thing that makes sense is at least Kansas City has a lot better food scene than Boston. So you win in the game of food.
Bogus, none of this is right.
You're missing the lead here. The Patriots made a kid cry.
That's right.
They made a kid cry because they're them.
Because they're them.
And that stupid kid's going to go back to the parade now in 2 weeks and go, I've been to 17 parades.
No, he's bored now.
Gluttony.
He's over it.
It's billionaires winning the lottery. Billionaires winning their scratch-off ticket. That's just what it keeps being.
At least Bon Jovi had a good night.
Sometimes bad sports things happen to good people. It happened again yesterday. When we come back here on the show, Troy Brown will join us here on the DA Show, former Patriots wide receiver, to discuss last night's win. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Your Nomad series is just amazing. And if you've never been down there, what an amazing experience. That's just one of the most amazing college football settings and just one of the most amazing, beautiful colleges around.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Nomad, my digital travel series, available on YouTube. Just search my name and Nomad on YouTube. You'll see the full series. Binge watch it, if you will, especially with a bye week coming up for the weekend. No football on your docket. Some space on your schedule, perhaps. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is a 3-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. He's a member of their Hall of Fame, a member of their 50th anniversary team, also a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. He's one of the great guys that we have, I think, in this industry, and seemingly every year I get to catch up with him at the Super Bowl because the Patriots are in the Super Bowl every year. Our friend Troy Brown joining us this morning. Troy, good morning, my man. How you doing?
DA, what's happening, man? What's going on?
I guess another year, different year, same story for you guys.
Yeah,
huh?
different city this time around. But, hey, I'm looking forward to it, man. I look forward to this time of year every year.
Did you have your doubts about the Patriots in yesterday's game going into the game because of how they had fared on the road this year, or did you know they would look much better in the playoffs on the road than we saw in the regular season?
Well, I didn't have too many doubts about them because I saw the way they ended the season and then the way they beat the Chargers last week and their style of play and what they wanted to accomplish with this football team was make it a running football team. We want to run first. So I knew they kind of had a chance with the weather and that situation being cold and – the way they use the short pass as a part of the run game as well. So I thought they had a pretty good chance, as long as it was a close ball game, that they would probably time manage better and manage the game better than what the Chiefs would do.
You've been in that huddle so many times with Tom Brady. Obviously, in big moments, in clutch situations, he's at his best. We saw that again yesterday in overtime. How can you define what separates Tom in those moments versus all the other quarterbacks?
Man, I think it's kind of hard to explain, but I don't think there's another human being on the planet as competitive as Tom Brady. I mean, I like to think that I was competitive, or I am competitive, and I've seen competitive people, but I've never seen anything like what Tom Brady brings to the table every single day. So it's kind of unexplainable, just how somebody who's been this successful for this long can still carry a chip on his shoulder for something that happened 20 plus years ago. So, but I don't know. I have to ask his parents. You know, what did you guys do to this kid, man? I don't know. He's a different cat.
Troy Brown is our guest this morning here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Was he like that when he took over as the starter in 01? Did he have that hyper competitive nature?
Yeah, he was that way when he came through the door. I mean, he wasn't probably not as animated with it as he is now, but he was the cat he was meeting players down the field, you know, if they missed a pass or something. I think Vincent Bridger was the guy that comes to mind, and not that it was confrontational, but it was just more, what were you thinking on this particular play? So he's always trying to gain knowledge of what the receiver is thinking and trying to get on the same page, and he thinks it should be done this way. So he was kind of that way from day one. But, you know, you just see now, I think it shows through a little bit more because he's been around us so long. He's got a lot of players that hadn't been around as long as he has, and I think it's just his leadership shows a whole lot more than it has in the past.
There's that classic story where Joe Montana in the Super Bowl, in the middle of a two-minute drill, looks up during a timeout and says, "Hey, is that John Candy?" And the idea is that no moment was too big. He was always just so composed and so cool. Is that Tom Brady, or is Brady more on edge and more fiery when it comes to those two-minute drills and those big moments?
Well, I think you could probably say that's kind of Tom Brady, that no moment's too big for him. I think he had a quote this past week talking about that the more he studies, the less nervous he gets. So and the more he prepares. So which makes sense, but. You know, I mean, who would think Tom Brady even gets nervous in the first place?
True.
But, you know, but he just—it just tells you the more he knows about your football team, the less worries he's going to have about the entire game. And there's nothing you can throw at him that he hadn't seen before.
Troy Brown joins us this morning on the show. What's your early read on the Patriots and Rams matchup?
Well, I mean, I like the matchup right now. Obviously, I'm a homer for one. So,
right.
And then. The fact that you got Tom Brady going up against Jared Goff and the Rams defense, they have a lot of not name recognition on that defense. Have they been playing better? They have been playing better, you know, and some of my makes on the show that we do here, the pregame show that we do on NBC Sports Boston, they push back on me a little bit about it. They think that the Rams got the interior lineman to be able to get that pocket push up the middle on Tom Brady that kind of just gets him off his spot with Sue and Donald. And then they threw in the fact that you got Tlaib out there and you got Peters on the other side, two guys that plays with attitudes all the time, can, you know, kind of get that team going in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But, you know, I just think that 18, 19 years of experience on the Tom Brady side, I think it wins out against pretty much anybody else. And then throwing Belichick and that coaching staff that they have, you know, and these guys now, they actually flip the switch in the playoffs like you have to do. You have to take your game to another level. The intensity's got to be different. And they've done it since the moment they set foot on the field
against the Chargers. So I feel like they're just ready for the moment.
Yeah, well put. Troy Brown joins us this morning on the show. Now, Troy's going to be fundraising and riding in the Pan Mass Challenge this year. He rides because his mom suffered from cancer, as well as two of his former college teammates. It's a 110-mile bike ride from Sturbridge to Provincetown in Massachusetts the first weekend of August. All funds raised go to the PMC and Dana-Farber to support cancer research. It's an amazing ride, an amazing cause. I know you're part of a lot of really important causes in Boston. This one's hits close to home for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, it does, man. I think, if you haven't been touched by cancer, then I'm not sure where you're from.
Yeah.
So, and it's pretty much, hit home two and a half years ago. And with my mom, and thank goodness it wasn't a very aggressive cancer. You know, my college quarterback passed away probably about 4 or 5 months ago. So at 47 years old, 48 years old. So another teammate of mine, was stage 4. And thank goodness he's in remission. So, it's been hitting us left and right. But so I decided to get out and ride last year and do it again this year. So, and by the way, the 110 miles, that's just the first day.
Oh.
The second day is like another 80 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Out to Provincetown.
Holy cow.
And so it's a fantastic time. I think it was like maybe 6,000 riders last year, or 4,000 volunteers. Like you said, the money, 100% of the money goes to Dana-Farber. So you can go to pmc.org. And I think my link is TB0330 if you want to help my cause out.
Yeah, you can donate to Troy Brown's cause. Go to pmc.org. That's Pan Mass Challenge, pmc.org. And you'll see the riders and Troy Brown's page. You can help donate there and help support a tremendous cause. Troy, you're a great man, and I appreciate you stopping by. And I guess I'll see you next week in Atlanta, huh, bud?
I'll see you next week, man. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you.
Back at you, man. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Troy Brown, one of the real class acts, one of the best guys I've ever worked around and with. We handled pregame and postgame together for a number of years on NBC Sports Boston when it came to the Patriots telecast and games, and just one of the best. So really cool to catch up with him. I appreciate his time, and he's got a great cause, as we just were talking about. So we're breaking down yesterday's action at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. JK tweets, DA, Mahomes is only 23 years old. Kansas City's going to be fine. You're talking way more about Chiefs fans' pain when the people of New Orleans the past 2 years have gotten so much worse. Hey, there is no way that I would overlook or undermine how tough it's been the way that they've lost the last 2 years for the Saints. I mean, last year in the Minneapolis Miracle, and then also yesterday on the most egregious non-call, I believe, in NFL history, not calling pass interference or helmet-to-helmet on that play late in the game against Roby Coleman. Not underestimating that at all. But if you're a Chiefs fan, you would say, well, I would totally take losing the last 2 years of the playoffs in crushing fashion if you gave me a Super Bowl a decade ago. I mean, Chiefs fans haven't even seen the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in 49 years. The Saints have won a Super Bowl in the last 10. I think Chiefs fans would take that trade. Yeah, give me the crushing losses as long as I saw my team in a Super Bowl and had a parade. Now, I agree, the future's remarkably bright with Mahomes. It's hard not to imagine him in multiple AFC title games moving forward. And it's hard not to imagine him in multiple Super Bowls. But weird things happen. Weird things happen in the NFL's annals. And sometimes what appears to be a no-brainer doesn't happen. You know, we thought that Peyton Manning was going to play in 10 Super Bowls. He played nearly a decade before getting to his first. We thought that Dan Marino would absolutely be guaranteed multiple Super Bowls. Played in one, never got back after year number two. You know, you just kind of assume, well, this guy looks great and he's going to take over the league. And, well, sometimes it just doesn't happen. I mean, look, Drew Brees is a really good example of that. Brees has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for 13 years, 14 years, about 14 years. And he has not played at the same conference as the Patriots. It's not like he keeps running into Tom Brady and Belichick. And Drew Brees has gotten to one Super Bowl. Sometimes the thing that we just assume You can't assume. You don't know. You don't know, which is what makes, I think, these types of losses so crushing. I don't think Drew Brees will now ever play in another Super Bowl because I don't think you can assume that he's going to get better or even stay at this level at 40, 41 years old moving forward. Is he going to be at this level next year? And for them to have an NFC Championship game at home in the fourth quarter driving, I mean, it's just the odds of that are minuscule with where his career is. You just, those moments are fleeting. And so for the Chiefs, yeah, we assume they'll be back and we assume Patrick Mahomes will play in Super Bowls and we assume, but how can you possibly assume anything when you've seen careers that look to be, you know, no-brainers? I mean, look at Andrew Luck's career. Luck comes into the league, we go, well, he'll play multiple Super Bowls. He's never been to one. He lost two seasons with a separated shoulder. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the DA show, I have a huge problem with the no call in Roby Coleman. Obviously, everyone does. But I've also got a huge problem with Sean Payton. I will discuss this coming up here next. Jump back into your phone calls. Phone lines have been lit all day long. Get invested and get on board. We're talking about the championship games yesterday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.